House Committee on Judiciary come to order. Today is Monday, April 10th, 2017. We're not going to be hearing House Bill 2306. We are going to roll over 2308, 2740, and 3242. 3242 we're going to roll till Thursday. So we can get some amendments straightened out. And we'll open.
Yeah, what were the first two?
2308 and 2740.
We're going to hold them over.
Specify that those
Mr. Chair.
308 and 2740 will be tomorrow.
And 308 and 2740 will be tomorrow.
And then was it 3242 you're going to hold to Thursday?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Get the amendment straightened out on that one.
Very
Thank
good.
You. You're here on.
I'm going to knock this agenda out.
Bill, are you?
2896.
Okay, open a public hearing on House Bill 2896 and call Representative Witt, please.
Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee. House Bill 2896 was brought to us by Representative Witt. It prohibits courts from issuing a warrant or sanction of confinement for contempt because of a judgment debtor's failure to comply with judgment debtor examination or written interrogatories. There are no amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Brad Witt, House District 31, appearing before you this afternoon in support of House Bill 2896. Committee members, the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution has been interpreted to prohibit the imprisonment of persons for debt. Yet in present-day Oregon, persons may be and are jailed for contempt that results from the defendant's failure to comply with judgment debtor examination or written interrogatories. The Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court, left open to the states the determination of whether or not someone may be jailed for contempt. For the inability to pay a court-ordered judgment. While I recognize that such incarcerations are for contempt and not for the debt itself, for the defendants and those that end up in jail, it may very well be an instance where it is a difference without a distinction. And I suggest to you that the original wisdom a couple hundred years ago when our nation began to eliminate imprisonment for debt still holds, still held in the 1970s and the 1980s. And with your favorable action on House Bill 2896, I hope will become law in the state of Oregon. Thank you very much.
So, Representative Witt, the question did come up, so how would the court be able to enforce somebody who just fails to appear and won't show up?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, there have been a number of ways that various other states have handled this issue, and I can tell you that this is becoming a problem nationwide, state after state. And some have called for people to do public service, a number of other remedies. I merely suggest that putting someone in prison, if they can't pay to begin with, eliminates virtually any opportunity for them to earn money to be able to make good on that debt. And it is a vicious cycle that never ends, and I think was the source upon which for the past couple hundred years we have determined in the United States that it is inappropriate to imprison people for their debt. So we have to allow people some avenue to be able to pay off their debt. Certainly being in prison doesn't assist in that to that end.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Representative Bile?
Chair Barker, Representative Witt, I'm a little bit confused. Section 2
says a court may not issue a warrant. But then down in Section 3, existing law, we've got several instances where it refers to when a warrant is issued. Now, it does say in Section 3, 33075 sub 1, that except is provided in Section 2 of this 2017 Act. But then if you go down, for example, 33075 sub 3, when the court issues a warrant for contempt, the court shall specify a security amount. So is the intent that there would never be the ability to issue a warrant on a judgment debtor exam or a failure to appear for a judgment debtor exam?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Vile, my understanding, and I hope that this language reflects that, warrants for arrest and imposition of a jail sentence not be allowed. And I have to admit to you, no legal background, so I don't know if warrants allow citation for public service, that sort of thing. But that was the intent in any instance. My intent.
Follow up,
please.
I think I'm understanding that, and I'm just going to suggest, Representative, that maybe we ask Legislative Council to take another look, because I fear that without significant changes throughout that, what is now Section 3 of the bill, or as 33075, that we've got an internal inconsistency in the way this would read, and it probably wouldn't be enforceable. So,
Mr. Chairman, Representative Vile, I have to admit that my common reading of that caused me to question it too. There will be others behind me that have a better grounding in the law than I do, and I hope that they may be able to demonstrate consistency. I'll stand by it in the event that this is inconsistent. I would endeavor to get an amendment
as quickly
as possible.
Your lack of familiarity with the law just simply reflects the ability to make a living honestly. So I appreciate
that. Thank you.
Weird jokes.
Thank you, sir.
Snap. Thank you. Thank you, Representative. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative.
Thank you, Chair Barker. Representative Witt, my apologies that I've not read through all the ORSs that this is related to or connected to here. Last week in Public Safety Sub, we heard about collection of child support and how, you know, holding someone in contempt has been a very productive way of getting people to pay on that. Do these ORSs refer to or relate to in any way the child support provision or allow exception for those?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Stark, I simply do not have grounding in child support to be able to answer your question. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you. Gail Meyer, please.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Barker, Vice Chairs and members of the committee. Gail Meyer on behalf of the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. We looked at this bill and I shot it over to one of our members who resides east of the mountains. And I asked this member, does this handle the situation that's going on in your community? And she said, no, it's close, but not quite. So if this bill concept does move forward, we would like to hopefully see it embrace something that we see happening in some jurisdictions. There is a justice court east of the mountains that when someone has been before the court for adjudication of a violation or a misdemeanor crime, and the court has imposed payment of fees or fines as a condition of that, What the court is doing is, on its own motion, if someone is in arrears, has fallen in delay and is in arrears of a payment plan, the court on its own motion is filing contempt charges and on its own motion issuing warrants for arrest on that contempt. And so the very first instance then that the person would know about this is when they're being picked up and held in jail. And they're held in jail for about 48 hours until counsel's appointed. So that does get really close to a debtor's prison. And so we were hoping to see this bill concept, if it does move forward in any respect, to be broadened to make it clear that simply being in arrears of fees or fines in the first instance does not authorize a court to issue a warrant for arrest. Rather, there must be some effort first to get that person before the court voluntarily by way of a notice before the warrant can be issued.
Okay, so if I have a notice that I'm not showing up, so it's like contempt of court, right? Is that, am I missing something here?
Chair Barker, in this instance, the court was not issuing any notices to appear. The person was simply in arrears of a payment plan, and the court on its own initiative was lodging contempt charges and issuing warrants for arrest. And so we think that the more tiered, stepped way of getting there is to first send that person a notice saying you're in arrears of your payment plan. Please come before the court and answer questions as to why you're in arrears.
Okay. So if then you have a court date and the person doesn't show up, then they could issue an arrest warrant?
Chair Barker, yes. We wouldn't intend to preclude that option.
Okay. Right. That makes more sense. Yeah. So we need to notify the person that they have an issue.
Correct.
Before we
issue. Please come before the court and explain why.
Okay.
Just one follow-up, Chair Barker, members of the committee, to respond to Representative Stark's question from earlier. My understanding is that this bill does not, in its current form, does not affect the child support provisions. That those are in different statutes.
Okay. Thank you.
And Chair Barker, just to be understood, if the bill were to move forward in its existing language, we'd be fine by that. We just wanted to say that if there is a pause and for the amendment, it'd be nice to have those other options considered.
We will pause.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Representative. Anything further? Okay. Close the public hearing on House Bill 2896 and move to a work session on House Bill 2622.
Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee. You previously heard 2622 on February 15th. House Bill 2622 allows financial institutions to refuse transactions when the institution reasonably believes the financial exploitation of vulnerable persons may have or is occurring. We have both the dash one and dash two amendments for you to consider. The dash one removes broker, dealers, and investment advisors from provisions of this measure. It also makes some technical corrections and specifies authority granted in the measure does not limit the rights found in contract between financial institutions and a customer. It also specifies that the measure does not limit the rights of financial institutions. The dash two amendment proposes an exemption for trust companies for action under ORS 124.100. Both the dash one and dash two have no revenue or fiscal impact.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendments into House Bill 2622.
Representative Williams moves the dash one amendments into House Bill 2622. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Can I ask a question of
yes,
counsel,
you
please?
Certainly. Please.
I've been working with another bill around banking regulations, and there's some question about the extent to which and under what circumstances Oregon can regulate national charter banks. Is this assumed to relate to national charter banks as well as state charter banks?
Does it relate to national charter banks? Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee. I am not positive about that, honestly. I would have to take some more time to look into that. I don't know at this point.
I would say not worry about holding it up at this point, but perhaps as it gets to the Senate, you can look into it and see.
Okay, thank you. No objections to the dash one amendments. They are so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments into House Bill 2622.
Representative Williamson moves the dash two amendments to House Bill 2622. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2622 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 2622 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
And let's see. Need a carrier.
Representative Gorsuch, would you carry that for us,
I
please?
Will.
Thank you. Representative Gorsuch will be the carrier.
If he can hear.
Yeah, if he can hear. Open a public hearing on House Bill 29. I'm sorry, work session on House Bill 2992.
Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee. House Bill 2992 requires school districts to adopt a policy requiring background checks of volunteers with direct and unsupervised contact with minors. We also have the Dash 1 amendment that applies this requirement to schools that are allowing this contact. So it just provided some clarification that schools that don't allow this type of contact to occur don't have to develop this policy. There is no revenue impact. There is an indeterminate fiscal impact, and because of that, we would need to add a subsequent to Ways and Means.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 2992.
Representative Williams moves the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 2992. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Chair Barker, I move House Bill 2992 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Williams moves House Bill 2992 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to the Joint Council on Ways and Means. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. And we'll open a work session on House Bill 3047.
Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee. You previously heard House Bill 3047 on March 27th. We have the Dash 2 and Dash 3 amendment at that time. We now also have the Dash 6. House Bill 3047 provides exemptions to the crime of weaponized unmanned aircraft system. The Dash 6, based on the testimony we heard at the hearing, added an exception to the notice requirements in this for agencies doing educational institutions that are using drones for educational purposes. The Dash 3 amendment allows law enforcement agencies to use the drones to acquire information at an accident scene in addition to currently authorized activities. The Dash 2 allows an exemption for the drones to be capable of firing a bullet or other object, requires notification be given to any agency that issues this permit or license for the activity, in addition to the notice to the Department of Aviation and Oregon State Police. The Dash 2, Dash 3, and Dash 6 have no revenue or fiscal impact.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendments into House Bill 3047.
Representative Williamson moves the Dash 2 amendments into House Bill 3047. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, does that mean I can't shoot down that drone?
I don't think you can already.
Yeah, in the first place, sorry.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm just curious about why this doesn't have any kind of a fiscal referral, given the fact that it requires now the Department of Aviation to do something when they're notified of somebody's intent to shoot something. I'm confused. Isn't that going to cost somebody something to keep track of that?
Just one moment. I'm pulling up the fiscal impact statement. Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee. With the Dash 2 amendment, there really isn't any analysis in the fiscal impact statement. It simply says no expenditure impact and no other information. So if we had more of a question beyond that, I would have to contact the fiscal office.
I'll withdraw the question.
Once again, this one has to go to this side of the building still, so if there's an issue in the meantime.
I guess it's okay. Not
are there
much.
No objections on the Dash 2s? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendments into House Bill 3047.
Representative Williamson moves the Dash 3s into House Bill 3047. Are there any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 6 amendments into House Bill 3047.
Representative Williamson moves the Dash 6 amendments into House Bill 3047. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3047 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williams moves House Bill 3047 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. And probably have Representative Huffman be the carrier for that, please. Okay, anything else? Early day today.
Thank
you.
Chair, are we going to potentially have a Friday meeting?
Yes, thank you. We are planning to have a Friday meeting. We're going to run out of time at the end of the week. Thursday, we have a full day already. So please plan on a Friday meeting. And also, I'd like to, I'll do it again because he's not here, but Josh and Whitney have done a tremendous amount of work, especially last week, trying to get all these bills. And for your information, we had 232 bills introduced in the Judiciary Committee this year. So bless you for getting all that done. It was a long Friday, but they got it done. So thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Pretty close. And just I wanted to emphasize or maybe have you mention, if I'm not mistaken, Wednesday we're going to be in Hearing Room 50, or was that next week? 17th, 18th, something like that?
Probably on the
Monday.
Yeah.
Monday.
On the 17th.
And so we will be in Hearing Room 50 for that.
Okay. Expect to be in a bigger room, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, committee. We stand adjourned. Okay. Thank you, committee. We stand adjourned.